Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Friday that feels like a Tuesday because nobody knows what day of the week this really is. But anyway, hey, listen, we're going to the phones right now, bringing in Jeff Poor, our friend from FM Talk 106.5, host of the Jeff Poor Show down yonder in Mobile. But he's also the executive editor, or excuse me, editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Hey, Jeff Poor, how you doing, man?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you. By the way, are you doing your show live yet? Have you gone back on the air?
Yeah, we've been, we only took New Year's Eve and day and Christmas Eve and day off.
Thank you. Well, you and I are the only two people in the world apparently doing live radio like that, because I keep getting people telling
it gets there's more, Senator. I have filled in for other hosts in Birmingham, these last few days too. One day I had 7 hours of radio, so
that's not healthy, brother, just so you know. Hey, listen, I got to get your feedback on something. You guys at 1819 writing about it, and I've got two stories. Let's take the first one that already occurred. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson just got reelected. He actually wound up making it in the first vote cycle. They didn't have to go through more than one. Your thoughts on this? How do you feel about it?
I don't think it was totally unexpected, and it was more about not screwing up Trump's win this time. I mean, I get it in the last iterations of the speaker's race with Johnson and McCarthy. I mean, they had to, you know, had to settle some scores and all of that. But on this one, it just feels to me like they weren't going to let prolonged speaker's race kind of give the media more ammunition.
Well, and I think you're right. I think that's healthy. I mean, Trump was obviously pushing for it, and I'm sure he's making phone calls in the background. Only one guy actually held out, Thomas Massie, and I saw that Byron York just moments ago texted out, only one person in all of Congress was willing to resist the Trump agenda, and that was Thomas Massie. But is that a plus right now? I'm not sure that's – I don't think this was the time, to be honest.
Well, you always get the Ron Paul – guy, right? There's always gonna be one guy who could do no wrong in the eyes of his constituents, and he's got nothing to worry about. He's a folk hero. He's gonna be fine. But there wasn't gonna be a whole bunch of them this time. You aren't gonna have a whole wagon of holdouts. Look, it's funny when Democrats will be in this spot, I think, someday, and they'll have to settle their scores. But they work better together. I tell you this, I'm a little surprised by how all the Democrats made it to D.C. I was talking to Jerry Carl, who's no longer a congressman.
Right.
But he was like, well, look, Pelosi was in the hospital. You got one member in Arizona who's, getting treated for cancer. They may have more votes that they can play with here than the Republicans are letting on, but it turned out not to be the case at all.
Yeah. I mean, I looked at the vote count. So he wins, Speaker Johnson, with a Republican slim majority, wins 218 to 215. I mean, Hakeem Jeffries is that close in terms of the vote count. That's amazing.
Well, it didn't help with Trump picking, Stefanik and there were a bunch, but I guess
Michael
haven't
Waltz
resigned their seat yet. Necessarily. To go into the Trump administration, but they had to move fast. It wasn't going to be like one of these 2-week-long kind of deals, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, well, let's come back home here to the magic city of Birmingham, Alabama. You guys have been writing about this. Colorful character, and we've got them. Every state's got them. Colorful character in state politics is State Representative Wandling Gavan. I have been in the legislature and watched her threaten to burn the house down and just be herself. And now she's going to run for mayor against Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin. Is this going to be the year of the sound bites out of the Birmingham mayor's race?
I don't know. They're always kind of kooky, right? William Bell, and I've never been super geeked up about a Birmingham mayoral race. It's sort of like a race to the bottom, but Iowa may be in trouble here. I mean, they got some crime problems, and he seems to, I mean, he's riding the gentrification train. How is that going to sell overall? I don't know that Wanda LeGavan is necessarily going to be the candidate. She's just kind of more of an interesting phenomenon, if anything. But I do think somebody could make a run, have a puncher's shot at beating him.
Well, we were talking here in the studio earlier, and you know, that's a blue area for the state of Alabama, but they don't run technically on a party ticket. But yet, there's nothing wrong with saying I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican, or at least talking about your policies. But is this the year that someone could come in, much like Trump has begun flipping areas that had been blue to red? Is this the year when someone could come in with a municipal agenda that is more conservative and actually prevail? What do you think?
Maybe if you have the right candidate. I mean, it's based on race, and you need to find a moderate center left guy to run. I could see it. The trick would be, like, when he ran in New York City, Eric Adams, coming out of de Blasio days, who was like, de Blasio was like a socialist out of the Soviet Union, and Eric Adams kind of ran on being tough on crime. Now, he never really fully lived up to that expectation, but maybe that's what we're looking at here. I don't think you're going to find somebody that's going to be like, oh, we need to cut the size of government and we need to quit doing all this goofy stuff uptown with all the subsidies or whatever it is. I don't think you're ever going to get that, or more world games, please. But I do think you could get somebody to say, hey, enough of this, like, Black Lives Matterification of our law enforcement. We need to tighten it up here because Birmingham's not a safe place to be.
All right, so let me ask you this. The race, I mean, Wanda LeGavan is a big personality. She's got a diva personality. You never know what color hair she's going to have when she shows up. She, you know, the giant glasses and the bright lipstick and the fancy dresses. And she's also, though, one who is not afraid to sling an insult, if you will. Like one of the stories you guys wrote in September was her calling out Woodfin on crime and saying, you're a little boy in a big job. Is he able to mix it up with someone who is that boisterous? Or is he going to be the guy who is trying to stay even-keeled and yet be liberal at the same time? What are your thoughts?
He may be able to mix it up with her. He already has responded to her some on the big one was that Five Point South shooting, remember?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it just mishandled. And he really made some public relations errors. And so he'll mix it up with her. He already has on social media. He's not a bad politician. He's just horrible at being mayor, but he's not a bad politician. I don't know. It's hard for me to, because we've never seen her with a primary challenge or something like that either. And she seems to do pretty well. But, I mean, keep in mind, her district goes way outside the city limits. Brookside up there where they had the problems with the speeding tickets and all of that. Can she carry enough of Birmingham to at least make a runoff?
And where do you know where she lives in Birmingham? I don't even know. Do you know?
I used to, somewhere near Birmingham Southern, I believe.
Okay.
In that neighborhood. I know there's a lot of neighborhoods right around there, but that Legion Field sort of part of Birmingham.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, she's a Miles College graduate, if I'm not mistaken. Well, I mean, this is going to be interesting, man. But I'll be honest with you, I look at it and think, and of course, you know, there's the whole thing about party politics. But at the very least, I wonder, can the business community, can the conservative community, can even the Republican Party recruit a candidate that comes in, and can they do that? Does it have to have skin color attached? I mean, do you have to find a black Republican, so to speak, to make this work?
Well, what if you had like an Arthur Davis or a guy like that? He's not necessarily, he has a D next to his name, but if you remember when Arthur Davis ran in that congressional district, he was before Terry Sewell.
Yep.
He beat Earl Hilliard, who was going to Libby out with Gaddafi, and was based on that. I mean, you had a lot of people in the pro-Israel community rally behind Arthur Davis, raise a for him,
yep.
And he was congressman for a while. They did do that great when he ran for governor, but what if you had a candidate like that? Because you look at the business community, they make big on Birmingham. I mean, they built that overpass between Red Mountain Expressway, 65, expecting big things, expecting a revitalization, expecting the place for the business community there to keep its headquarters, not be ran out to Hoover or Inverness or some other part of Birmingham.
Yeah.
So, you know, you kind of look at it and you got to think, why wouldn't they try to find somebody who would instill a little more confidence, especially on the public safety realm?
I think they have to. I mean, I think that we're going to continue to see the decline of Birmingham going from being the biggest city in the state to it's soon going to be the fourth in the state, if not fifth, if they keep on the trajectory they're on right now. And a lot of that's happened in the last decade especially. But I don't know, man.
Well, Senator, real quick, I mean, it's just been their losses have been the suburbs as gained. It's not as if Birmingham is losing people and they're moving to Montgomery or Huntsville. They're moving to Shelby County or they're moving to the over the mountain suburbs.
Yep, I totally agree. But they're also losing opportunities. I mean, the things that come to the state of Alabama don't look at Birmingham. Not right now. They don't.
Watch this real quick. They you know, the legislature this last session did these opportunities, this districts where they have some kind of like, you know, a community or whatever where they have can be self-governing. Watch and see if those go inside of Birmingham or inside another municipality to the south of Birmingham.
Well, more to come on it, but I suspect you guys at 1819 News will be covering that race.
Yeah, well, if there is a race now, we'll see.
Okay.
Those mayoral races tend to be pretty crowded.
Yep, more to come on it, brother. Hey, appreciate you, man. Happy New Year to you, and we'll talk again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
See you. All right, we're taking a break right now. That was Jeff Poor from 1819 News. You can find them at 1819news.com. Also, the host of his own show, The Jeff Poor Show, on FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile. In the meantime, we're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.